Smile. Joel chapter 2, reading one verse of scripture, verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whoever, say whoever, calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to talk to us for just a few moments this morning about whoever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. And your mercy endures from everlasting to everlasting. Lord, we thank you for your presence here. But Lord, I pray that we will open our hearts and our minds and allow you to do within us what you desire to do. That we will not leave this place the same way we came in. But God, we will leave with you, drawing closer to you than we have ever been before. Lord, help your servant in a special way. I need your touch desperately. Lord, but I pray that you'd touch each and every person under the sound of our voice, whether they're here or listening over the internet or listening by CD. And so, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. Webster's defines whoever as whatever person, no matter who. I like that. Whatever person, no matter who. And it's in the Word of God, so God meant it to be in there. It's in there over 200 and something times. But I like that word because it shows the inclusiveness of God. That he is no respecter of persons. Can you say amen? Amen. Whoever, wherever, whenever, whatever. No matter who. No matter how old. No matter how young. No matter how rich. No matter how poor. No matter your race. No matter your shape or size. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No matter your family, no matter your family background, no matter your occupation, no matter how good you have been or are, no matter how bad you have been or are, no matter your situation, no matter your circumstance, God is still reaching out to the whoevers of the world because he has something awesome in store for us if we will just cry out and believe and follow him. Can you say amen? I want us to take a few minutes, a very, very simple message this morning. I want us to take a few minutes and look at this word, whoever, today and see how it may affect us in our walks today. The awesome truth about this is this. One of the main things you and I have in common today is that we are all whoevers. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, you old whoever you. We're all whoevers. And if we are all whoevers, then there are a few facts. We can't go cover all of them in this time. There are a few characteristics we as whoevers have. I'm having to be careful on that because I don't want to get my tongue tied. I'm already too blocked as it is. I don't need my tongue to get wrapped up as well. Amen. There are a few characteristics that we all as whoevers have, and I want us to look at that this morning. Are you ready? Touch your neighbor and say, get ready. The first thing, to be a whoever, you must be alive. You must be breathing. You must have a pulse. Now, one of my good friends has begun coming here a few months or about a year or so ago. And he owns a certain business in this town. And he's doing very well and turned that business around in a tremendous way. But whenever he walks up and shakes your hand, people think he's so friendly because he will walk up and grab your hand and then he will grab your wrist. Now people think, man, he is so friendly. No, he's checking their pulse because it's John Colley, the Undertaker. Hello. I got permission from him. I've seen him shake hands like that, but I think it's just something undertakers do. Because, and you just think they're being friendly. No, they say, well, he's not quite ready yet. He's, you know, it's kind of like checking the cookies in the oven. Hello. And if you turn your back, you might hear a zip zip, and what they're doing, they got a measuring tape checking you out for casket size. Amen. John says, I'll never shake hands like that again. But he's checking your pulse. So, but to be a whoever, you must be alive. You must have a pulse. You must be breathing. So I want us to check some things out right now. Reach over and take your neighbor by the wrist and check their pulse. Come on. The quicker y'all do this, quicker I get through. Yeah, right. Do they have a pulse? So we are all, there's nobody that's out of it this morning. We're all whoever's. Can you say amen? But the thing about it, there is not a person here or that has been born that is here by accident. There's not a person here that has been born that is here by accident. God knew each and every person before, the Bible says, before they were ever conceived in their mother's womb, when they were knitted and put together in the lowest parts of the earth, what the scripture says. There's not a person here or that's been born that's here by accident. And they're all whoever's. And God has a purpose and a plan for each and every person that has ever been born. He has a plan for every whoever. It's just a matter if they find it, if they walk in it, or not. If they come to know him as Lord and Savior, as they begin to follow him. You say, well, Brother Doss, what about those on the other side of the globe? It don't matter. They're not there by accident. They're there because God desired for them to be there. Can you say amen? I don't have to explain all those things. All I have to do is believe what God's word says, that there's not a person born that's not here, that's here by accident. And the whole duty of us as whoever's, according to Scripture, is this. The wisest man, Solomon, shared it in Ecclesiastes. He said this, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Fear God and keep his commandments. God, in creating us as whoever's, did so in order that we may have a relationship. In order that we can have fellowship, in order that we may have communion with him. And the only way we can find out the fullness and the full purpose of our lives is if we come into that fellowship, that relationship, and that communion with the Father. Can you say amen? As we honor him and reverence him and come to know and follow him and his word. So if you are alive this morning, how many of you are alive? Well, the rest of you I'm worried about. You are a whoever. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm a whoever. First thing, if you're alive, you're a whoever. So we're all in this together. Second thing, all whoever's were born into sin and need a Savior. All whoever's were born into sin and need a Savior. There's no one who is born saved. Well, I got to thinking about it, so maybe three. You said, what do you mean three? Well, Adam, he was created. Well, you had to throw Eve in there too. She was created. So maybe four. So they were perfect in their creation. God looked at them and said, this is good. Adam saw Eve and he said, whoa, man. You catch on that later. John the Baptist, you got to think about John the Baptist. Well, he was full of the Holy Ghost from his mama's womb. So, you know, so possibly John the Baptist. And Jesus never knew sin, never tasted sin, so he was born. So if you're not in that three or four category, then the rest of us were born into sin. Can you say amen? Because of the result of the fall of man in the garden. Apart from Christ, everybody on the face of the earth is born into sin. The Bible declares this out. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none, say none, righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all, say all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That was talking about me. That was talking about me. Again, apart from Christ, every person on the face of the earth, there is none righteous. We have all sinned. Thereby we are all sinners. when whoever's come onto the face of the earth, there is a time of where we reach the age of accountability, and I'm not getting into all that. That's for another time. Since the fall of man in the garden, every person that comes upon the face of the earth, every whoever was in his need of redemption. But thank God, that's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came. That's why God in his love and his mercy and his grace. What was the solution? What was the remedy? What was the answer? Number three, if you're whoever, you're alive. If you're whoever, you were born into this world and born into sin. But if you're whoever, there is only one way for whoever's to be saved. Not many ways, it's just one way. It's only through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's only through his atoning sacrifice. It's only through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are not many ways, there's only one. Can you say amen? Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name, say name, under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved, by which we must be saved. There's only one name. And the Bible says in Joel that we read that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, there's only one name by which we can be saved, and his name is Jesus. Can you say amen? It's not Buddha, it's not Hare Krishna, it's not Joseph Smith, it's not in your money, it's not in your power, it's not in your football team, it's not in any of those things. It's only in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Only in the name of Jesus. Only through Jesus Christ. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father and his perfect sacrifice. John 3, 16 and 17. Well, we've heard that a lot. I like to hear it. I love that scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, hallelujah, that includes me, and that includes you, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That whoever believes, all I got to do, as a whoever, I can believe on the name above all names, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must believe and continue to believe in him. But in order to believe, in order to accept him, in order to have him come and live in our hearts, we must do something. We must call upon him. We must cry out to him. We must call out to him. We must call to one's aid. Because in Joel, in the Old Testament, it said, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, Brother Doss, aren't we a New Testament church? We sure are. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Another very familiar passage of Scripture. Beginning at verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, there's that name, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The way we came to the Lord in the Old Testament was calling upon his name. The way we come to the Lord in the New Testament was calling upon this name. The way we still come to the Lord in 2018 is not through a denomination, not through a certain rich set of standards, but it all comes about as we call upon the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When we call upon him, when we confess our sins, when we believe in his death, burial, and his resurrection, when we accept him into our heart and give him full control, you will be saved. Call upon the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Give your heart completely over to him. Allow him to come in and have complete control. If you're here this morning and you haven't done that, friend, Jesus is working on your heart right now. How do I know that? Because it was last Tuesday in my time of prayer that out of nowhere, he says, this is what I want you to preach next Sunday morning. He said, I want you to preach to the whoever's. Because there may be a whoever here that is not called upon the name of the Lord. And he loves you so much, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, there's, we're going to, let me get on a little bit. Amen. That's when something wonderful happens, when we call upon the name of the Lord. When we give our hearts to Him, something takes place. Our sins are forgiven. He takes as far as the east is from the west and throws them in the depths of the sea. We are a new creation in Him. We have now become a saved whoever rather than a lost whoever. There ain't but two. It begins to be a difference then. We become a saved whoever rather than a lost whoever. But there's a vast difference there, because there's two different destinations. There's two different ways of life. There's two different sources of help. Can you say amen? I tell you, I've been in this thing a while, and I want you to understand it's a whole lot better to be a saved whoever than a lost whoever. Can you say amen? But God came that all could become saved. Can you say amen? When we give our hearts to Him, when we call upon Him, we become a saved whoever rather than a lost whoever. If you're breathing, you're a whoever. Second, all have been born into sin. All whoevers were born into sin. And there's only one way to be saved, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you hadn't done that, I pray before you leave here today that you give your heart and your life to Him. It's the greatest decision you can make. And the fourth thing, well, is that it? Is that all there is to it? Is that all that it is to be just a saved whoever, just give my heart to Him and go about my way? No. As saved whoevers, four, we must seek to grow more in Him through building our relationship through Him. How do we do that? Through prayer, communication, communion with Him. We do it through His Word and obedience to it. We do it by being faithful to church. Aren't you glad you showed up this morning? We do it through living and sharing our faith in Him. It's an ongoing process. You've heard it said many times, I'm not what I was, but I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm in transition, can you say amen? And as saved whoever's, there's none of us that has arrived, because Paul said, he said, this one thing I do, stretching forth to the things that are fore and forgetting those things that are behind. He's not said, I'm not where I need to be yet, but I'm not what I was. And if Paul wasn't what he needed to be yet, my Lord, I got a long ways to go. But I'm not going to get satisfied. I'm not going to get complacent and say, well, I don't think I can do it on my own. No, I can't do it on my own. It takes the person and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes the Spirit of God working inside us, but it takes determination and effort on our part, striving to draw closer to Him. Can you say amen? Jesus said this, John chapter 14, verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them. Uh-oh. It's more than just having a copy of God's word. It's having His commandments and keeps them. It is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus said, if someone really loves me, they'll obey my word. They'll live. Doesn't mean you might not stumble. Doesn't mean you might have an occasional misstep. We all will. But by and large, you will do your best to follow after the Word of God and do what Jesus says and live your life in a way that's pleasing to the Father. And Jesus, I will manifest myself to you. In other words, He will show Himself on your behalf. He will show Himself mighty, not just in a church service, but in the circumstances and the situations and the daily things of life we go through. He said in verse 23 in John chapter 14, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. They take up residence. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost take up residence in our hearts as we obey him and follow him. It reveals our love for him. And Jesus said, when that happens, we will come and take up residence. Sometimes when I go fishing, Donna said, baby, you going fishing with anybody? I said, oh, I got a boat full. Who you got? I said, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He's a whole lot better fisherman than I am. He's been in at it a long time. He told some experienced fishermen one before. He said, just cast your net on the other side, and it filled all their nets up. Next time, they caught 153 when they did that. I ain't never caught 153 fish, so I'm still just keeping on going, just taking them with me every day. Amen. But God comes and takes up residence in our hearts and our lives as we follow Him on a daily basis. The Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, listen very closely. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever, here we go. Here's how many whoevers we got. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we know Him. We are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. We can tell our relationship with Christ by how we keep and obey that word and live our lives on a daily basis. We can tell our love for the Lord by how we handle that word and live according to that word. Again, he said, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. See, church, and to be that saved whoever, we must live out our faith as a whoever to him by living a life that's pleasing to him. And that's not hard to do. One thing I have found in my 56 years upon this earth is the more I walk in obedience to Him, the more I walk in the world, the less I give in to my flesh and the less I give in to the temptations of the enemy, the more peace I have, the more joy I have, the more strength I have. It pays to serve the Lord. Can you say amen? But I'm afraid there are many who may know Christ but have allowed other things to get in the way. Good people. But somewhere along the line, they begin to let other things get in the way. They begin to let the distractions and the cares and the desires for other things begin to get in the way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. Listen very closely. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. I'm afraid there are many who may know Christ but have allowed other things to get in the way. Jesus confirmed that in the book of Matthew, said, in the last days the love of many shall wax cold. You can't have something wax cold until it first has been hot. I'm afraid there's some folks that may have allowed their relationship with Christ. They may have drawn back. That word drawn back means to cower, to shrink, to withdraw, to let down. Literally to back up and or let down your guard and let down your commitment and let down your dedication to Christ. Hear this servant of the Lord this morning. Now's not the time to do that. Now's not the time to be in that state. Now's not the time to be playing games, can you say amen? Now's the time. It's not to draw away from God, but to draw close to God, can you say amen? Jesus is coming. Again, now is not the time to be drawing back, but rather to be drawing closer to Him. And more than at any other time, can you say amen? And God, through His love and through His mercy and His grace, through His Son Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe He is crying out not only to the lost, but He's crying out to the complacent, to the compromised, to those who have drawn back. Come back home. Come back home. Don't quit drawing away. Start trying to draw close again. Can you say amen? Now's the time. The Bible says draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Jesus is crying out, it's time to get back on track. It's time to get back in right fellowship with Him. But He also, there's another whoever. Sister Sylvia, it's not up there. Matthew 10:33. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Well, that's a powerful whoever. Whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. In studying that phrase in Hebrews when it talks about drawing back, they broke it down in the Hebrew and they broke it down in the Greek. And it means exactly what we were talking about, to cower, to shrink, to withdraw, to let down. But the overall language in the original language literally means to draw back from your faith in God and to draw more into the faith in yourself. To draw into your own protection, your own knowledge, your own strength, your own understanding. We draw back on our own self-righteousness, our own will, and our own way. And we draw away from God. Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous place to be. We see whole denominations today that are drawing away from the truth and the purity of the Scripture. And they're leading hundreds and thousands away from the truth. They're coming because they're drawing back to their own wisdom, their own understanding, their own pride and their own self-righteousness and their own arrogance. And if denominations can do it, people can do it. But I love what it says in the book of Hebrews there. He says, but we are not of those that draw back, but believe to the saving of the soul. Can you say amen? This morning, if somewhere along the line, if you've allowed things to get in the way, and it happens, I'm a pastor of a church. I've been in full-time ministry 25 years, but I'm going to confess to you, I'll be transparent with you. There have been times in that 25 years that I've allowed other things to get in the way between me and my walk with Christ. You said, Brother Dalton, you are kidding. I am not. I'm just telling you, I'm just as human as you are. But I found what it means to come back to the table, to come back to the feet of the Lord and say, God, forgive me for allowing other things to come between me and my relationship with you. Lord, come in and have your way. Cleanse me, wash me, purge me of those things. You say, well, what are you talking about? Sinful things? Some things are good things, but they're not the best things. Can you say amen? This morning, if you've allowed some other things to come in between you and your relationship with the Lord, Jesus is crying out, it's time to come back home. Any whoever can get and stay as close to the Lord as they want to Jesus, it's a matter of want to, where your priorities as well as your love lies. I know what time it is, and I'm going to be very quickly because this is one place I really want to get to. There's another aspect to this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look with me in Joel chapter 2, verse 32, our original text. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. There are times that we must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. But there are times that even us as whoever's that are living in right relationship with the Lord, listen to me very carefully. There are times when even us as whoever's that are living in right relationship with the Lord that we need deliverance. What does deliverance mean? Here in Joel it means to escape, to find liberty and freedom, to find deliverance. There are times that even when we know the Lord, even when we're living in right relationship with the Lord, we need deliverance. And we can find it in the same place as we call upon the name of the Lord. Whoever's can call on Him to deliver them from whatever they need deliverance from. Listen to me. From addictions. From discouragements. From depressions, from fears and anxieties, from guilts and regrets, from resentments, on and on. Whatever it may be, whoever's can call upon the name of the Lord and He will deliver you. Keep in mind, He says, there is deliverance. As the Lord had said, that word deliverance means to escape, to find liberty, to find deliverance. 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, it's not up there. chapter 10, verse 13. You need to underline this in your Bible. No temptation, the word temptation means test, trial, or temptation, has overtaken you except such is common to man. But God is faithful. Say, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation will also make the way of escape, the way of escape, the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. What is the definition of deliverance? It is the way of escape. What is the way of escape? What is deliverance? To call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved and you will be delivered. Can you say amen? Whatever situation, listen to this preacher today. Whatever situation, whatever circumstance, whatever thing that you're going through, whatever your family's going through, whatever may be going on deep inside your heart, you may not have told anybody. There is one who knows all about it. There is one who is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. There is one who knows the tears you have shed. There's one who knows the heartache that it's caused. And there is one who is here this morning that wants to set you free to be your way of escape, to be your way up, to be your way out. He wants to set you free from that today. And all you got to do is believe and call upon that name above all names. Can you say amen? In the name of Jesus, discouragements have to go. Depressions have to go. Sicknesses have to go. Anxieties and fears have to go. Worry have to go. If we'll just call upon the name of the Lord, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We can call upon him. He says, call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Whoever, I'm sure I'm hooked on that King James, I've been raised on it. Whosoever, same thing, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved, shall be delivered. My question is, do you need deliverance today? These are just a few characteristics that we as whoevers have in common. As we close this morning, Pastor Kip, have you called on the name of the Lord to be saved? Have you truly given your heart to him? The word is nigh. It's near you. It's even in your mouth, the word of faith which we preach. And that word is Jesus. Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've never given your heart to the Lord, that's what I love about whoever, whoever. You say, well, I've been too bad. Jesus took care of all how bad you've been at Calvary. Greatest service I've ever been to in my life was in a place in Angola prison when an altar call was given to death row inmates. Only death row inmates and ministers were in there. And I felt the grace and mercy of God reach out to men that had lived terrible lives and done atrocious things. But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Can I tell you, if he saved them, he'll save you. If he saved them, he'll save you. This morning, in just a moment, if you've never called on the name of the Lord to be saved, we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray with you. This morning, if you've drawn back in some areas and you need to get back on track. Oh, Brother Doss, I'm uncomfortable. There's a little conviction, friends. Conviction draws us to the Lord. God's not trying to draw you away. He's trying to draw you to him. Because you need that relationship back more than anything. He loves you so much. He wants that relationship back. He paid a high price for you to have it. Can you say amen? And he desires that fellowship, that communion. He loves you that much, my friend, my brother, and my sister. And it's time to lay some things aside and come back home to Father. Can you say amen? Just call upon the name of the Lord. This morning, if you're here and you say, I need that deliverance. I need that deliverance.